Gospel according to St. Matthew, out of the 25th chapter. I'll read verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left.
Oh, yeah.
Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Supporting scripture, Matthew 7 and 12, where the Bible reads, Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In Isaiah 6 and 8, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Based on those verses, we'd like to use a subjectal thought this morning in the form of a question. What will it take to get on the right side? Hallelujah. How many believe that it's going to come? Yeah. That's the kid believing that it's going to come. You maybe on the way, you don't know when it's going to get there, but you just can't get disturbed or get discouraged in the process of your waiting. You just got to learn how to wait patiently on the Lord and know that whatever God has for you, it is for you. I don't care who might be talking against you. Somebody might even be crazy enough to be praying against you. But if you know God for yourself and you know that God hears your humble cry, then whatever you ask the Lord for, you ought to believe that it is on the way. It's either on the way, you already got it. And then the sad thing is some of you got it and missed it. Hallelujah. You asked God for something and he delivered just what you needed and it went right over your head. You didn't even know God had blessed you. And you find yourself still asking God for that same thing. And I believe God looking at you smiling like, what's wrong with you? I already delivered it. I already gave it to you. You just didn't recognize it. Keep your eyes open, be watchful and be praying. And then keep your, not these ears, because sometimes we just listen too much to the wrong thing, but keep this ear that you have in here so you can hear that small, still voice that will speak to you and let you know that your blessing is on the way. No matter who might talk against you, no matter who may put a stumbling block in your way, make that stumbling block a stepping stone and just keep on moving forward. You got to have your own mindset that I don't care what nobody else say. I'm going to do what I can while I can. And then when we even come to the house of God, we got some folk that come out of habit. We got some folk that come to be blessed. We got some folk that just like to say, I went to church Sunday morning. But how many of you come to really get a blessing from the Lord? How many of you come to tell God, thank you for what you've done for me? She said, what we got to understand is that throughout our week's journey, there wasn't, the church folk weren't in there when God blessed us, and the organist wasn't there, and the choir wasn't there, but God was right there. And when you called on him in the midnight hour and didn't know exactly what to do, God touched you with the finger of love, raised you up out of that bed one more time, made everything all right, and we owe God a praise this morning. Anybody in here know that you owe God a praise? You're not doing God a favor by being in here. You ought to be glad that you are in here. Still counted amongst the living. Still able to run on your feet. Still able to tell God, thank you. I don't care what I've gone through. I thank God that I've been through it, and now I'm going to move forward. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you've never been through anything, you just don't know how good it is to be delivered. Every one of us has had a runny nose and a cold, but if you've never, ever been sick, hallelujah, when you've been sick and know that your body's been going through something, and you might not be where you want to be, but God done brought you so far that you know that he is a healer and a keeper. That you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what the doctors say, God has the last say. Hallelujah. I get excited about what the Lord is doing because, you know, it's one thing to just hear the word, but we got to learn how to be doers. And most of all, and most importantly, we got to be believers of the word of God. You don't have to believe in me. That's a mistake. You need to believe in the word of God and believe in the power of the God that you serve. Hallelujah. And if you believe in that, it's not going to fail you. Hallelujah. So we're here this morning to propose a question to you. What will it take to get on the right side? This being our Missionary Appreciation Day, I thank God for moving me in a direction to a message that will enlighten, encourage, or even convict individuals that are just sort of in the number. All of us can say that we love the Lord, or most of us can say that we love the Lord, and most of us are members of somebody's church, and we go and we praise God and we serve him. And in many of our churches, the mindset is that we enter to worship God, but we leave to serve. So the question this morning is, who are you willing to serve? Many of us are just more concerned about me and mine. And as long as mine is all right, then everything is all right. But how many of you know that it goes a little bit farther than just yours? Or if you have a clear understanding of who your neighbor is and who your brother and your sisters are, then it goes farther than your namesake. It goes farther than your immediate bloodline. We got to understand that the blood of the Lamb flows through all of us. So we are all connected in some kind of way, whether we want to acknowledge it or accept it or not. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. It's only by the grace of a mighty God that he's allowed us another chance to come into this place to worship one more time. We are blessed by God despite our test and despite our mess, because a lot of times we go through things because of what we did to ourselves. We dug our own hole. We made our own bed. And the old folk used to say, when you lay your bed, you got to lay in it. Hallelujah, Jesus. There are times when we thought they didn't know what they were talking about. And when God allowed us to live long enough to have some obligations and to go through some things, we found out that life is not as easy as we thought it was. It's good to have life, but we know that life calls also for responsibilities and obligations, and you ought to be willing to do something other than just live. And as you live, you ought to be able to thank God for all things. You know, in the Bible, it says, in all things give thanks. So we got to learn, how can I put that into perspective when I know I'm going through? How can I be thankful when I don't know where my next meal is going to come from? How can I be thankful when my body is wrapped in pain and I just don't know how I'm going to see tomorrow? But you can be thankful in knowing, if you are a believer, that it might be bad right now, but it's going to be better. It might be their blessing today, but my blessing is on the way. You got to know that it might be a lot of folks seemingly in line in the front of you, but your time is going to come. Don't let nobody deter you or to make you begin to believe that you're not going to have your time. We hear so many times about it's a seasonal thing. And as every now and again, you got to know that you ought to have a season. You got a season of despair. You got a season of going through. But you ought to have a season of rejoicing sometimes. Why do church folk and God's folk always want to be down in the dumps? You got to learn how to get out of the dumps. You ain't never had a whole lot, but you've been able to be thankful for what you got. And we were taught that with the little bit you got, take care of what you got, be proud of what you got, and everything going to be all right. And it didn't matter that we didn't have the finer things in life. All we needed was some things. If you got the bare necessities of life, then everything will work itself out. We look in life and all around us, we see sickness and uncertainties and death. And in the midst and all around us, there are all parts of the world, something is going on. If it's not a natural disaster, tornadoes and storms, and then we hear in the news now that it's so much human trafficking that people are using people for monetary gain. Crime and poverty and the love and concern for one another is not like what it used to be. We can say that I got a best friend. We can say that I got friends, but we just don't have that bond that we used to have. There was a time when it was said that we were a village, and the village took care of one another. The village cared for one another and loved one another despite who you was or what you had. If you were down and out, then the village would come to your rescue. But now we're living in it, and it's just like we're not the village no more. We are just people in the village. And the only folk we care about is our own folk. And then the sad thing is some of us don't care even about our own folk. Not talking to anybody in here this morning. See, we're living in a time when it's a dog-eat-dog world, and everybody's seemingly underhanded and shady deals that are done in high places, and the negative effect, it triggers down to the poor folk. And that's where we are. I don't care where we might be right now, but you can still consider yourself poor. And on the other hand, you can consider yourself rich. It all depends on how you look at it. You can have a whole lot of money in the bank and not have physical strength to get up and go cash a check. And you can be broke as a skunk and know that you don't have nothing. But if somebody calls you and say, I got about $20 that you can get right up on your feet and go running over there and get that $20. So you got to learn how to be thankful for what you got. Don't be worried about what everybody else got. Just thank God for what you got. And then know that you got to learn how to be appreciative. We've all grown up in a poor environment, but we've seen how the Lord always have made a way for the family. And we may have had some hard times coming along, but love and determination, it has brought us through. Having that one that had that mind that I'm not going to give up on my family. That one that said, if I got to work two jobs, I'll work two jobs. That one that said that I'll deny myself to make sure that my children have food to eat on their table. That one that said that I'm going to look over some things that I want to do because I got some things that I need to do. Anybody learn how to separate your needs from your wants? And stop worrying God about what you want and talk to him about what you need. And if you just talk about what you need, then the Bible says that I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. So we got everything that we need. But we are worrying God about the things that we want. Then there are those of us that are so jealous about what somebody else got. But you got to understand that you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. You ask with a little doubt in your mind as to whether God can do it. I thank God to be a poor man. I've been to some great places. And I come back just as poor as I was before I left, but I didn't look poor when I got there. I didn't act poor when I got there. All I know is all I need to do is just get a little bit to get rid of hungry. Then we sit around and we point the finger and we talk about everybody's wanting to do something. If you don't want to do nothing, that's your business. But stop being a hater because somebody else want to do something. If you scared to fly, stay on the ground. Folk dying on the ground walking. Any excuse. But you deny yourself. So when you deny yourself, don't blame everybody else because you unhappy. If you're so unhappy in the condition that you're in, find another condition. We got to know that we got to believe in God. And not only must we believe in God, we got to believe in ourselves. We got to know that at times in our lives, we got to set some goals. And as we set our goals, we got to know that God will help us to achieve those goals. But we can't let a stumbling block keep us from getting there. We can't let a closed door keep us from getting there. We can't let the naysayers and the negative thinking folk keep us from getting there, because they say that folk like you don't get into places like that. But I beg to differ, because folk like us are getting everywhere that we really want to be now. Education is open for anybody that is willing to walk through the door, fill out the paperwork, and do the thing that need to be done. Get your certificate and walk away. And then the job is not going to fall in your lap just because you got a degree. You still got to get up off yourself and go somewhere and keep on looking and keep on looking and keep on looking until you get what you're looking for. You might die looking for it, but don't stop looking for it. If it's for you, you can get it. But you got to believe it deep down in the depths of your heart. And you got to know that even your dreams... That's the God that I serve, that he will even make my dreams come true. Those things that I thought that would never happen in my life. The God that I serve is such an awesome God that he took all the naysayers and all the negative prospects out of it, and he put the components in that will make me realize that all I got to do is trust him. And when I don't know what to do, don't worry about what my brother or my sister going to tell me, but look up to the hills and know that God will give me an answer. Anybody in here been talking to God? And every one of you have been talking to God. You didn't call me and say, can I talk to God? You can talk to God when you get ready. You don't need anybody's permission to call on God. And God don't need anybody's permission to bless you. God will bless you right in the front of your enemy and make your enemy begin to think, how in the world are you making it? How have you got a smile on your face? I put my foot on you and you done got back up. I refuse to let the enemy have my joy. Thank you, God. We got to know that whatever we need, God will give it to us. We're going to have those days when we are down on our luck. Those days when our bodies begin to fall apart and to dissolve. We're going to have trials and tribulations. Sometimes those tribulations are going to be so devastating that they are going to overwhelm us. We ought to remember that when we get overwhelmed and we don't know what to do. What did I tell you a few weeks ago? Somebody tell me. Thank you, sister. When you need a little help, Trish say, look to the hills. Anybody else in here remember that? Or am I just coming in here week after week sweating myself and talking about the good news, and you hear that minute and you forget it? You better hold on to this word. Now, I did make a statement that you got to look farther than me. But I am the vessel that God is using to declare his word. So look beyond the vessel and get the word. And when the word comes to you, use that word. Because there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to need to look up to those hills of Zion. You're going to need to really know where your help comes from. Because a whole lot of us, mama and daddy dead and gone. So mama can't help me no more, but I got another mama that is able to reach down in the depths of my very soul and to pick me up and let me know that everything is going to be all right. So stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. And know that God loves you with everything that you got. Be aware that there's someone in your midst. You're looking for some help, and help is right there in your face. A lot of time we miss out on our help because we look for certain individuals. Some of us are so proud we don't want some folk to help us. But anybody remember that old saying we used to say, anyway you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Jesus. I just had one thought that I'm going to go ahead and share. Because we got some uppity folk. Be so poor. I know it. We've been taught, and it's in our own mind that you don't hear everybody's cooking. But now, when you're poor, and you don't buy much food, no way. You're eating somebody else's food all the time. But you come in the door with a plate. First thing they want to know is, who cooked it? Sometimes I get a little angry. Because the one thing is, it don't make no difference. See, when I get angry, I don't give no answer. They say, who cooked it? I just keep walking. My mindset is, don't make no difference. You didn't buy it. You're going to have to eat something. So if you don't eat that, I got to buy what you're going to eat. So I done brought something in here. You better eat it. We get so clean when it's somebody else. Then if you stop by your house, your kitchen might be half clean, but it ain't all that. So what makes your cooking so much special than everybody else's? That they ought to be willing to jump in on your plate, but you got to have reservations when you don't know who cooked it. I don't know where that come from, but that need to help somebody in here this morning. Why you think we pray? Lord, bless this food for the nourishment of our body. So if I'm going to ask the Lord to bless it, then the Lord going to take care of it, keeping it from getting sick. Now, there are times when you might eat something that may upset you a little bit, but it might not have been because of the cook. Might have been because of the choice of the meal. Might have been because of what you already had in your gut. Everything don't mix up good together. Stop pointing the finger at the cook. I don't know where that come from. But here we are at the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church. We're here today to say thank you for the sacrifice of your time, for having that mind that it's good, a good thing to visit the less fortunate, whether it's because of sickness, death, or any of the unpredictable incidents that can occur in life from day to day. So we are here to say thank you, and we love you for your unselfishness and for all of your heartfelt concern and care. As pastor, I personally say thank you for your support and for your dedication in helping me to fulfill the ministry that God has bestowed upon me. For without your prayers and without your help, I wouldn't be able to do the things that needs to be done on a regular basis. Because I learned a long time ago that ministry is an ongoing thing. And as servants, we must bless the Lord at all times. The Bible declares his praise shall always continually be in our mouth. We know that in the spiritual realm that we are our brother's keeper. The strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. We ought to have a mind to do what we can while we can. So to those of us that are part of our missionary ministry, whether you are one in the group that go out on Tuesday, whether you're one of those that meet us at the nursing center on Thursday, whether you're one of those that go with me on Sunday evening. And then there are some of us, and I thank God for knowing that there are some of you that go all by yourself on your own time and go and visit those that are less fortunate and let them know that you're thinking about them. Let them know that you love them. So to all of you, I am saying thank you this morning. And I'm saying a very special thank you to the mission that we are on, because it's a mission to be on a mission. We are a missionary Baptist church, and we are here. The Bible says that we ought to be about our Father's business. Now, we are members of the Fowles Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. So what is our mission? As people, as the body of Christ, many members, but yet one body in Christ. We all have a mission and an obligation, first of all, to tell the good news. We ought to declare of the goodness of the Lord. We ought to be able to tell somebody just how good God is. We ought to be able and willing to take the role of a servant. A servant is someone that is willing to serve or do something for someone else. So as missionaries, our aim is to continue the ministry of Jesus the Christ, to be his disciples and to be followers of Jesus, and to even find a way to sort of get others to get on board and to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can enhance the kingdom of God. So what we need is somebody that is willing to say that, as the Bible declared, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's always a need for new laborers in the vineyard. But when we hear or see the need, when we look around in the harvest, we realize that there's always something that needs to be done. But I wonder this morning, is there anybody in here somewhat like Isaiah? Isaiah realized that I got a job to do, and I realized that there is a need for the Bible saying the year that King Uzziah died, that Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up in his train filled the temple. The Bible said above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. And the Bible said they cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." But Isaiah said, then said I, "Woe is me, for I am an undone man. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then the Bible said that there was one flew over and it put a hot coal on his mouth. And he said upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this have touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged." So Isaiah realized that I got to go and tell about the good news. But the problem is that I already know that I'm not going to be successful. I know that they're not going to hear me because I'm talking to a stiff-necked folk. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for me?" See, Isaiah was looking for somebody that would say, "I'll go, even if I have to go all by myself." See, I'm here in Fowl's Chapel this morning thanking God for the missionaries that are already on board. But I'm looking out and saying, whoever in the house of God, if there are any Isaiahs in the house, anybody in here that are willing to say, "Here am I. Lord, send me, I'll go." Anybody in here know that in order for us to be what we need to be, if we know what we got to do to get on the right side, the first thing we got to do is believe in the power of God. We got to believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. We got to believe that God died and got up on that third day. And if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, our next step is to know that we got to learn how to treat one another. For Jesus said, "Love ye one another as I have loved you." Anybody in the house, love the Lord. Do you love the Lord enough that you can love one another? You got to love one another as the Lord has loved. It's got to be an unconditional love. It's got to be a love that sits high and it looks down below. It's got to be a love that will penetrate down in the depths of your soul. We got to know that there is a golden rule. For the Lord said, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them." So you better learn how to treat other folk like you want to be treated. If you want to be one of those that are going to be on the right-hand side, then you got to learn how to do what you can while you can. You got to know that you got to stop using all of those excuses. Always saying that it's not my problem, it's not my family, it's not my situation. But I stopped by to tell somebody that it's time for us to realize that one day we're all going to be judged for the thing that we've done in this life. And then we're going to be judged for the thing that we did not do. See, a whole lot of us like to sit around and talk about what we don't do anymore. But if you're not doing anything to help anybody, the Lord God tells us in the power of his word, we got to know that when we stop our ear to the cry of the Lord, we are hurting ourselves because we got to help. We got to help those that are less fortunate this morning. We got to help those that don't have what you got. You got to help those that it seems like they might be irresponsible. But if you are a child of the Most High King, The Bible said the strong will bear the infirmities of the weak. So I just stop by to tell somebody that there's going to come a time when the Son of Man, when he come in all of his glory, all of the holy angels will be with him. He will be sitting there high on the throne, and this will be the start of the millennium. We want to thank God this morning, because when we look here in the Word of God, when all of the nations did gather together, and then when the Lord God judged us one by another, he's not going to judge us as a group right then, but he's going to look at your individual life. Don't start talking about nobody else, but you got to answer for yourself. Anybody in the house this morning that always talking about what they did and what they have made me do. But if you fell out of the will of God, you got to stand up and face the music for yourself. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I stop by to tell somebody that the Lord God, when he sits high on the throne, he's going to be the one that's going to separate. For the Bible says he's going to divide us. The sheep are going to be on the right hand, and the goat are going to be on the left hand. Now, what is going to help you get on the right side? The Bible said, when I was hungry, you gave me meat to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in and gave me somewhere to lay my head. I was naked, you found clothes to go on my back. When I got sick and on the bed of affliction, you stopped by to see about me. When I made time on the prison block, you came to see about me. But they say, who and when did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you naked? But Jesus said, the least that you do, to those that are sitting right there beside you. You see, we always talking about our neighbor, but we got to learn that if we're going to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Our neighbor is not just on our block, but it's any and everybody that walks through the blood of the Lamb. Anybody that got the blood of the Lamb running warm in their veins. I start to tell somebody that what it's going to take to get on the right side. See, if you're on the left side, you're going to be one of the goats. So you got to make up in your mind, are you a sheep or are you a goat? If you're a sheep, the Bible says, now sheep hear my voice. I call them by their name. But if you're a goat, when the Lord began to speak up, you're not going to know who he's talking to. There are goats all around. A goat will eat anything. A goat just don't care. But a sheep got to be led to better waters. A sheep got to be led to greener pastures. A sheep got to be led to a place of protection. So I want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a goat. I want to ask you this morning, whose side are you leaning on? What side are you going to end up on? When that judgment day comes, will you be on the right side or will you be on the left? Anybody know that you know that you know that you're going to be on the right side? If you know you're on the right side, then you know that you are a believer. You might not be perfect, but you got your mind made up. You might not be pure, but you put your hand in God's hand. And God washed you, cleansed you, made everything all right. Anybody love the Lord? Say, yeah! Oh, God. What side? What side will you be on? I wonder this morning. How many of us are confident in our spiritual walk? That if you had to make an answer today, what it takes to get on the right side. Now, no one knows like you where you might be with God. I'm not talking about what you've been doing wrong. I'm talking about where you might be with God. Right now, if you had to answer God as to whether you are a goat or you are a sheep, all sheep stand on your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. We ought to be glorifying God. You ought to get up with all power. You ought to get up with a hallelujah praise. You ought to get up, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. See, I'm talking to the sheep right now. I'm talking to the believers in the house right now. All of you that know that God is right there by your side. All of you that know that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to do just what you need him to do. You're going to hold on to his unchanging hand. And you're going to reach up and grab your miracle. Anybody need a help? Anybody need a blessing? You better say yeah to the power of a mighty God. I'm glad that I'm a sheep. As you stand to your feet, we want to extend an invitation this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. You ought to know who you are. Even if you don't feel like you're all the way there. If you headed in the right direction, just keep pressing forward. Paul said, forget those things that are behind you and reach forth, hallelujah, to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as we reach forward, I guarantee you the enemy is going to try to snatch your hand and try to pull you back. But you got to have your mind made up this morning that I want to get on the Lord's right side.